It's our time. We must rise up and no longer disparage. It's our time, church, to honor our heritage. We have a Savior. He gave it all on the cross. We stand beside martyrs who counted nothing as loss. They took God's mysteries, opened them up for us. Stephen, John the Baptist, Bonhoeffer, Jan Hus. Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses above, it's now our turn to model his unending love. Our mission is one we cannot confuse, nor muddy up with some trite excuse. You say you're not well-versed, ready, or able. I think Moses even tried to use that fable. The time we have, it's now more urgent. If we should hear, well done, faithful servant. Yeah, church, it's our time. It's our time to confess the ways we're mangled, the sins and selfishness that have us entangled. Lust, greed, and pride, their path leads to the grave. Yet we return to our sins as if we're a slave. Can we survive in this putrid Dead Sea? I quote Paul, may it never be. So let's cast aside our individual leprosy and begin to leave a biblical legacy. There's a glorious prize awaiting to be won, and the way to win is to start to run. Let's lace them up and fight the good fight, become to the world both salt and light. Our life on earth is merely a vapor. Our chapter must move from pen to paper. So church, let's get to writing because it's our time. It's our time, church. We have what it takes to help the world from its slumber awake. To Jesus, we are his beautiful bride. Whom shall we fear with him on our side? We have each other. We are not alone. It's iron to iron in the combat zone. There's a promise of life full of adventure. As long as we give both talents and treasure, the workers are few, the harvest is plenty, with so many lives running on empty. Scores of people trying to cope, they've come to the end of their proverbial rope. Young eyes are wandering, looking for direction. Make sure we point them to his resurrection. The clock's ticking, we're on our dime. Hey church, rise up! It's our time.
That's the same video intro that we saw 2 weeks ago as we started this series of being kingdom builders. I love it because it talks so clearly about the need for us to do just that, to be kingdom builders, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the importance of doing it now, today, not waiting for tomorrow or a week or a month, because we don't know that there will be a tomorrow, a week, or a month. I remember as a child, and here's the one thing about us now streaming is my parents actually tune into this sometimes, so I got to keep this like legit and honest because they can catch me on if I exaggerate this at all. So hopefully I'm telling it the way I remember it as a child, okay? We'll say that. I remember we used to do family nights. I think it was Friday nights, if I remember correctly. We'd do family nights, and we would go and we would do something, or we'd stay home and we would do something together. But it was a focused time of just being together as a family on what I'm going to say was Friday nights. And the one that stands out that I still remember so clearly was one that I believe we were getting ready to go bowling. And we all went out to the garage. We got in the car. And I have two brothers, so there's three of us boys. We all pile into the back of the car. And prior to coming out of the house and into the car, we had been at each other, as siblings do, just poking each other and pushing each other's buttons and that kind of stuff. We get into the car, and that continues. And it only amplifies as we've gotten into the car. Well, my parents had had enough at that point. And my dad in particular had had enough at that point. And I remember very clearly him telling us all to get inside the house, and he was following us in. And we knew that at that point that we had gone far enough in what we'd been doing with each other. And then he sat us down, this is my recollection, as he sat us down in front of the kitchen counter, and he proceeded to what in my mind seemed like an eternity, seemed like 30 minutes, lecture us and talk to us about respecting each other and showing love to each other and all these different things. Right? It may have only been 30 seconds. I don't know. It certainly didn't seem like that in the moment. But what is the piece of the story that I want you to understand is that this memory was ingrained in my mind. Ingrained. I remember it to this day. Every detail may not be quite perfect, but I remember it to this day because it was such a big event, such a big moment, that it just ingrained into my mind. I remember maybe 12 years ago or 15 years ago when I was getting into firefighting. I took a class to become a firefighter, and the guy that was leading it was our assistant chief at the Inglewood Fire Department. And as I went to the classes and sat in the classes as he was sharing information with us, I was amazed at his knowledge of what he had experienced in life, what he had studied in life. This guy knew the old school tactics of firefighting. He knew what was being studied as new possibilities of firefighting. This guy was ingrained into this idea of firefighting, and in firefighting was ingrained into his mind. So this morning I want to ask us, what is it that's ingrained into your mind? What's ingrained in your mind? Paul uses these verses, and they're such wise words, right? He says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." 2 weeks ago, when we started this series, we learned that being all in for God and for his kingdom and being kingdom builders begins really as an issue of the heart, is what we talked about. Today, I hope that we'll see that it not only affects our heart, but it should also inhabit our minds or our heads. If you remember the passage that we looked at 2 weeks ago, it was simply this from Matthew chapter 22, 37. It said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." I've heard it said, if the gospel is not being ingrained in your mind, it probably hasn't been engraved on your heart. Did you catch that? If the gospel is not being ingrained in your mind, it probably hasn't been engraved on your heart. We can see throughout Scripture the importance of the mind. The importance of what we bring into our minds. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us that the growth as a believer happens as our thinking is transformed. That means a changing in our minds and how we are thinking, how we are processing, how we're filtering. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And then it goes on to say, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What happens in our heads affects everything. And then it finishes up by saying, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This transformation of the mind takes place when we place ourselves in situations that allow us to be in God's word. That's how it will happen. When we make an effort, when we place ourselves in a situation or situations, and hopefully it's situations, it's plural, that allow us to be in God's word or penetrated by his word. God provides many opportunities for us to apply the truths that he reveals to us throughout preaching, teaching, studying, meditating on his word. You may be going through the same situation over and over again in your life because you have not applied the truth that he taught you to the trial that he brought you. You have to do it. You have to be in his word and apply it in order to transform your mind. Genuine love of God transforms our lives and our lifestyles. When we are genuinely transformed, we will be kingdom builders. Our hearts will bleed for people that don't know Jesus Christ, and our minds will say we need to do something about those people. D.L. Moody writes this. He says, "The scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation." Right? It takes a whole lot more in regards to scripture. It's not just there for us to have great information on something. It's not its purpose. Its purpose is so that it can transform our lives. It's interaction with an application of God's word that transforms our thought life and helps us to become kingdom builders for God. So here's, I think, how this works a little bit. First thing I want us to look at is loving God with all your mind should change our perspective. So if you're taking notes, number one is loving God with all your mind should change my, let's make it personal, should change my perspective. Loving God with all our minds comes from the radical alteration of our selfish and self-focused life or lifestyle. That's the natural for us, is to be selfish and self-focused. Most people look at life from the perspective of what they can get out of life, how they can make out the best for themselves and for their families. If we are true spirit-filled believers with transformation taking place in our lives, our perspective should be, what can we give, not what can we get. To be all in, we must have God's perspective on all things, on our relationships, on our giving, on our marriages, on our children, our retirement plans, our jobs, our school activities that we participate in. The list goes on and on and on. Just a couple additional thoughts under this same heading is this. If your mind is being transformed, you see people differently. You'll see people differently. People are no longer categorized as those that help you or are opposed to you. But people are simply seen as people. Every person you come in contact with has their own sets of problems and pressures in life. The things they say or do should not probably be taken personally so often. We do that. We need to see objectively behind the hurtful, hateful words that sometimes are spoken to us because we don't know what they're all going through. They're a person that's made in the image of God, and just because they say something that hurts you in that moment doesn't mean they have a bad heart. Let me ask you this. Do you have trouble loving somebody? As you're sitting here today, is there somebody that it's just difficult for you to love? Do you make excuses as to why they're unlovable? Right? We begin to list off the reasons why we find that person hard to love. We need to allow God's Holy Spirit to renew our minds by having God's word tucked away in our hearts and in our minds. Right? I think that if we were to tuck away 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, many of you know this passage, right? It's the wedding passage. If we tuck that away into our minds as we think about people that really hurt us sometimes, or disappoint us, it helps us refocus. Because it reminds us that love is patient, that love is kind, that it doesn't envy and it doesn't boast and it's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It reminds us that love isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Man, that's a hard one for a lot of us. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes. It always perseveres. It never fails. Here's another thought. If your mind is being transformed, you see things differently. You do. It's just a normal part of transformation. Things are no longer important, but how you acquire them and what you do with them, that matters. Your mind will transition from thinking, how can I hold on to this, to how can I honor God with what he has blessed me with? We'll ask ourselves, do I honor God by keeping it, by giving it away, by loaning it to others for their use? So that we can help others and be a blessing with what God's given to us. Secondly, loving God with all of our minds changes our priorities. Our priorities in life. Really, this, I think, is a good time to ask what are God's priorities? Right? We're supposed to be imitators of God with our lives. What are his priorities? I think God's priorities in Isaiah 43, verse 7, it says, everyone called by my name and created for my glory, I have formed him, indeed I have made him. God's glory, simply put, is his redemption. His redemption. I think the redemption of people. That's his priority. When we look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, we find that everything was for the glory of God. He created all there is to display and magnify his name and the person of Jesus. To glorify God and to be kingdom builders, we must teach God's word first and foremost. The principles of the Bible. And we teach it certainly by confessing it through our verbal language as we talk to people. But probably the greatest way we teach it is through how we act, through our actions. So to glorify God and be kingdom builders, we must be teachers of God's word. We've got to cultivate relationships with other believers. That's critically important. We've got to pray with expectation, right? That adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication thing. Let's pray through that on a regular basis as believers. And let's do it with expectation that God is going to respond. Those practices bring light to God's priorities. What should our priorities be? I think our priorities, Jesus told us clearly that our priorities will be set by what is valuable to us. How do your priorities line up with those of God's? As a believer, your main priority should be to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. What is glorifying to God is for us to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. That's being a part of kingdom building. Let me share a couple thoughts about individual and church priorities. I think it's important as we talk about priorities that we're intentional about priorities, that we set our priorities. Unless we take time to focus or set our minds or our priorities, then somebody or something else will do it for us. That's just a reality. If you don't set your priorities, somebody else or something else will set your priorities for you. It's often overlooked that this is an important responsibility for us as believers to fulfill, setting our priorities. And if we want to take it a step further, set your priorities with eternal things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, on eternal things, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." And then it goes on to say in verse 2, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Set your priorities with eternal things. That's what this passage tells us. Way too often we place value on temporary things in life. Only you can choose what your priorities will be in life. How you will use the time and the gifts that God has given to you. Only you will decide that. We are the ones who choose what our time will be spent on or what our priorities will be. I think this is a really true statement. We prioritize based on how we value things. Isn't that true? That's what we give our time and our energy and our resources to. It's things that we value. We don't give our time and our energy and our resources to something that we think is stupid or a waste of our time. Because of this reality, I challenge you to look at your calendar for a week or maybe longer, maybe for a month, and see how you prioritize your time. You'll find out what currently is most valuable to you as you do that. Maybe you need to take a daily, like, hour-by-hour inventory of how you use your time for a week or two in order to truly see how you're prioritizing your time, your energy, your resources. There's some priorities that Scripture make clear. I think they come from God's heart. I think the biggest priority from God's heart is His kingdom. His kingdom. Desires nothing more for His kingdom to continually be growing, right? For people to continually be falling in love with Him, coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that an eternity can be spent with Him. I think another piece of God's priorities is the church, because that is a tool, a conduit in which the kingdom grows. I think another priority of God's is Scripture. We're called to share the gospel of Jesus with all people. We only discover the gospel through this book called the Bible. And then making disciples. This happens by getting involved and being invested in other people's lives. It can be costly, But it has a great, incredible return on any investment that you put into doing it. Lives changed. It'll happen as you are used to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has a way of coming upon those situations and working in those situations and grabbing a hold of people's lives and then transforming their lives. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul tells us, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In the light of Colossians 3, 2, we must ask ourselves, is it time that you and I adjust our priorities in life? We have to. To be all in regarding God and his kingdom, what we discover is it takes a renewing of our minds. And in so doing, that changes our perspective on life and things in life, and our priorities on life and things in life. And then as that takes place, it's also going to change how we act. Loving God, number three, with all your mind changes your practices, your actions. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. We often relate our emotions to our heart. It appears that Scripture actually makes clear that the heart and at least part, the mind, are connected together. Right? The passage we just read, from out of the heart come evil thoughts. It connects our heart and our thoughts. That's why God tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Here we see that the need for the power of the gospel. This isn't just a temporary change of our actions. This is a radical call for the transformation of who you and I are. Let me just talk for a minute to those of us that have been on this journey for a number of years. Because I know that some here with us or at home, this is a new journey to you, and you can maybe see, okay, yeah, there are areas that transformation needs to take place. For those of us that have been on this journey longer, let me tell you, there's areas in your life. There's areas in my life. This transformation needs to take place. So don't sit there and think that this is a great message for somebody that's new to Jesus. Because this is a great message. This word of God is for each one of us. Have you ever struggled in your life with habits or attitudes or sins? We all have. Some are probably struggling with some of those things right now today as you sit in here. God is giving us, in essence, the prescription for victory in our lives over these things. A renewed mind is that prescription. This renewed mind is a mind full of Scripture, where we can rely on God's word for encouragement as we face those things in our lives. This renewed mind is a mind ready to obey the Spirit. How do we do that? I think it comes through offering forgiveness quickly to people, through showing thankfulness, through rejoicing, through faithfulness, through witnessing and serving others. This renewed mind is a mind ready to abandon old ways of thinking in our lives. We do this by taking our thoughts before the power of Jesus. With God's help, we can take captive any thoughts that are clearly commanded against in our minds. Pride and anger and selfishness and gossip and greed and hatred and division and strife and apathy and critical spirits. And the list can go on and on and on, right? In order to abandon our old way of thinking, we must cultivate godly thinking. The mind is, in a sense, it's so simple in one sense. It's kind of like a farmer's field. Right now, if you drive down the road, you see all the farmers out working their fields, they're planting their crops, right? And if a farmer is planting a corn crop, he can expect to harvest corn. At the end of the season, if he's planting a wheat crop, he can expect to harvest wheat at the end of the season. It would be really silly or dumb of the farmer to plant corn and expect to harvest wheat. It's simple. Whatever you plant is what you're going to get. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. It's impossible for any person to sow to the flesh to get a spiritual harvest. What we put into our minds is what we are going to see come out of our minds. God has given us the ability to control what we sow and thereby control what will be harvested. So as we come to the end this morning, couple things I just want to go through. How can I begin the process or continue the process of renewing my mind in order to be obedient to God and be part of building the kingdom of God? I think there's some really simple practical steps that we can do. I think first of all, we've already mentioned this one a couple times, be in God's word, right? Don't let this just hold down your coffee table at home. There's more purpose to it than that. Join something that's going to challenge you in your spiritual life. Join a life group next time that they come around, or be involved with ministries like youth ministry or children's Sunday school that are taking place, or as we restart adult Sunday school this summer, hopefully, jump into a class and join the learning. Look for ways to fellowship with other believers that will stretch you. Serve. Volunteer to teach a child Sunday school class or an adult Sunday school class. I guarantee you that as you prepare to teach, you will also learn and grow in your mind. Make God times, both privately and corporately. Make God times, get this, a priority in your life. Priority. Not just something that if I have time at the end of the week, I'll do it. Not just a second thought. Make God time the priority of your life. And here's one that can be hard because it involves relationships. But maybe you just need to stay away from some negativity and nasty thinking of some other people. Maybe you need to set some boundaries in your life. Because the negativity or nasty thinking of other people it's spewing out of their minds is now coming into your mind and changing your thought process in an unhealthy way. One of the most important aspects of being all in is to rid of the negative thinking that we have in our lives. To do so, we must get our minds focused on our priorities, which should mimic God's priorities. As we leave and enter into a brand new week, I encourage us to remember the importance of our minds and the scripture that calls us to be all in regarding God and his kingdom. And in doing so, we will just naturally become part of building God's kingdom with our lives. Let's pray together. Lord God, I come to you and I thank you so much for how you walk with us in life. I thank you for your word and how it challenges us in life. Heavenly Father, this morning as we've talked about our minds and being all in with loving you with our minds, I pray, Lord God, that we would allow that to just become a part of who we are. And as it becomes a part of who we are, that it would actually change our perspectives in life, our priorities in life, and our actions or our practices in life. Lord God, help us as a church to take this kingdom building thing seriously. We don't know when your return will be, but what we do know is we are closer today than we were yesterday. Help us not to think we'll handle that tomorrow, but instead to step up to the plate and take care of business today, because it is life and death. And you've chosen to use us to breathe hope. Pray this in your name. Amen.